So I'm talking with Michael Voltaggio. You're a Michelin star recipient as well as a James Beard Award nominee. That's correct, right?
That is correct.
And when did you start to cook, Michael?
I started cooking when I was 15 years old. I got hired as a busboy in a restaurant where my brother was the sous chef. And then was promoted to start cooking in the kitchen.
And then you realized that you wanted to continue on and become a chef?
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
And then you went ahead and decided to become a chef.
I think you're sort of born with it. I mean, I don't think anyone intentionally sets out to do this for a living just because it's a pretty crazy profession. I think it's like a lot of other arts. You're sort of, it's you as a person. And for me, I was fortunate enough where that happened to me. And I've never collected a paycheck for anything other than cooking, aside from the few months that I bust tables before. I really wasn't old enough to work in a kitchen at the time. And I fell in love with it instantly. There was no alternative for me. I mean, it became me. It defined me as a person, and that's what I did for the rest of my career.
And did you officially go to a cooking school, or did you train through restaurants?
I did my apprenticeship at a resort called the Greenbrier, and this resort offers, probably the closest thing to a classic European apprenticeship in the United States. And basically, they would accept 8 people a year from throughout the world. And I was invited to come down and do an interview, and they said, when can you come down? And I said, tomorrow. And they said to me, well, tomorrow's Christmas. And I said, here, coming down tomorrow. I drove to the resort on Christmas Eve. It was like 5 hours away from my parents' house, or the night before Christmas Eve. I worked about 14 hours straight, and then got in my car and drove back to my parents' house in time for Christmas Day. And so that made an impact on them. I was the youngest to go into the apprenticeship program in its history. It's now just over 50 years old. And from there, joined the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company.
Okay, and then you went on to the Bazaar, is that right?
I left the Ritz. When I left the Ritz, I went actually to Sonoma and ran Dry Creek Kitchen for Charlie Palmer.
Ah, okay.
That's where I got my first Michelin star. And I think I was 26 years old when I was at that restaurant. From there, I was invited to go back to the Greenbrier, which is where I did my apprenticeship, and actually opened a restaurant for them. They recently, the hotel itself had filed for some sort of bankruptcy, changed ownership, and so forth. And that's when I met Jose and ended up at the Bazaar in Beverly Hills.
And how long were you there before you changed over to the Langham in Pasadena?
Jose hired me just over a year ago, and I did all the research and development with his team in Washington, D.C., was flying back and forth during construction of the Bazaar and actually opened it. All in all, I worked on that project for about a year.
Okay, and then what brought you over to the Pasadena from there?
It's a funny story. When I was away filming, I had gotten some messages from the executive chef of the actual hotel part of it. And this guy, Denny Depetois, years and years ago, both of us would get called in to either open new properties for the Ritz or go in and clean up and sort of fix, properties where there were opportunities. So Denny and I had met several times doing Ritz-Carlton projects. And when Craig left, who I know pretty well, to go down to the Montage, Denny was looking for a chef and called me. At that time, I was away. Then when I got back, I have all these messages. So I started calling my friends. And I was thinking, maybe he just needs a reservation at the Bazaar. He never called me. Unless he needed a reservation. So I call him back, and he's like, the hotel is looking for a chef for the dining room. And I really wasn't that interested in it just because, I had done the dining room thing for the Ritz-Carlton and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually the dining room chef for the Ritz-Carlton in Naples, Florida for 2 years. So, I was like, thank you, but I'm not really interested. I know it's a great property. But then he told me, more about the Langham and the direction they were going in and invited me in just to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went in, point, I realized, you know, this wasn't just another couple hundred-year-old building with old tradition. This was a new company with an aggressive sort of passion to set new standards, and I believed all of it, and I still do, and I'm blown away with Langham now. I mean, it reminds me of what Ritz-Carlton used to be years ago.
And what have you changed from the previous menu in the dining room at the Langham?
I changed the entire menu. I did that within the first 2 weeks I was there. I've made a physical change in the actual kitchen itself. I've already purchased new porcelain for the room. We're moving forward very quickly. The difference between the old dining room and the new, probably the best way, is Craig's food was great, and Craig ran that dining room for 8 years. But if I would have arrived and just done the same thing, then really there's no point in changing chefs. And that restaurant is so special. You know, my goal is to develop the same relationship with the community that Craig developed in the 8 years that he was there.
Mm-hmm. And he had a pretty strong ties with the Pasadena community while he was there.
Absolutely.
And describe a bit about the type of food you like to cook and your working style.
My working style?
Your cooking style and kind of what you, sort of the new dishes, too, that are going to be on the menu there?
Sure, absolutely. My style, where Craig was so hard with, or so good at preserving classic cooking. I mean, Craig is an unbelievable technician, and his food was very clean, and the ingredients sort of spoke for themselves. I have the same classic discipline, but I also utilize a lot of modern technology in my cooking. So it's sort of that bridge between the old and the new.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a modern American cuisine, which obviously America itself, you know, is the melting pot of all over the world. And so with that, we have access to ingredients from all over the world and techniques. And so I sort of study all of that. The old menu of the dining room was like a first course, main course dessert type restaurant. And now we've opened it up to more of a, like a tasting experience. The portions are a bit smaller, but the minimum amount of courses that you'll leave that restaurant having eaten is 5. So when you come into the dining room, we want it to be an experience about food. So when you come in, the least amount of food you're going to eat is 5 courses, and the food is going to jump with flavor, and we really want it to be an experience about food.
And it's also a kind of more of a diverse choice, too, as well, isn't it?
With regards to
the product, like now there's like when I went there for the tasting, you had pigeon, you had, you know, some kind of interesting choices that weren't on there before.
Absolutely. And I think that's what it's all about. When people go out to dinner, I mean, cooks at home today are doing things that we were doing in professional kitchens 5 years ago. And that's how fast the industry's moving, with things like Bravo and the different television networks coming out with these food and cooking shows. What we do is accessible to the home cook. So now I think it's our job. Now, the restaurants, the regular restaurants that people go to day after day after day, great. I mean, that's what they're looking for. But when you go to a restaurant and you're spending, you know, hundreds of dollars on dinner, and I'm not saying that's what we're about, but when you do that, you need to walk away with some sort of an experience and some sort of impact to justify the fact that, wow, I just drove to Pasadena to eat in the dining room. Man, it was amazing. We had this and this and this, and
right,
there's a conversation about it. And that's really my goal, is to have people coming into that restaurant and leaving and saying, "Wow, you know, how did he do that?"
Right. So it is kind of a much more unique experience, I think, now with the new menu. And let's talk a little bit about Top Chef. I know you can't say a lot because it's still kind of just starting up and airing. But were you a fan of the show before you were selected to be one of the contestants?
Yeah, I mean, I think to a certain degree, anyone in the industry is a fan of the show, because it's if somebody says that they don't read an industry magazine, or they don't watch an industry-related show, or they don't participate in industry-related events, then I don't really understand how they're growing in their own profession. So I think shows like Top Chef and other networks, and, you know, it helps. It generates ideas. It's inspiring. And I think this particular show is put together so well that, you know, it's entertaining and educational. And how could you not be a fan of that?
And did you choose to compete on it, or did they approach you?
The selection process, I actually was sort of pushed into it by my sous chef Marcel, who was on season two, and then another employee that I had, his name was Hong Wen. He was on previous season as well.
Right.
They sort of encouraged me to apply and go through the process, and that's how it all came.
And your brother is also on the show, which you're competing against. He's also a chef. Can you talk a little bit about how different your cooking styles are?
I think they're as different as our personalities, Brian. At the end of the day, he's equally as passionate about food as I am. In some cases, better, and in some cases, I'm better. So the difference in styles, he might be a little bit more conservative than me, just in general, and that's both in personality and in cooking styles. But at the end of the day, we both share the same passion, the same drive, and the same, sort of excellence, I think. We're not, by no means would I say I'm better than him, nor would I say he's better than me. It's just...
And how did the experience change the relationship at all between you by going on Top Chef?
I think the one thing that we probably got out of the experience is being able to spend so much time together, not each other that much, and in a really long time. And it was good. You build relationships in cooking, and the one thing that has happened with Brian and I is that we're so far away from each other.
Right, he's on the East Coast, isn't he?
Exactly. And I've made my best friends in the world in the kitchen, and I've never really shared that with my brother except for when I was like 15 years old and I was like a line cook in a little restaurant where he was the sous chef. So for me, it was an experience because I got to cook with my brother when I've cooked and made so many other friends and people that I would call the guys that I cook with, like my brothers. And here I am doing that with my actual brother. So.
And what do you think most prepared you to go on the show?
I don't think anything can really prepare you for that.
What was the hardest part for you about being on the show?
I really don't think there was... It's not about hard. I think it's about challenging yourself.
Well, what was the most challenging for you?
I think just not knowing what to expect.
Yeah, and all the surprises. And what did you like the best?
I don't know if I can really go too far into that.
Okay.
It's bittersweet. The thing that I liked the most and didn't like about it was the anticipation, the not knowing.
And the surprises, probably.
That contradicts what we do every day. And, being a chef, the one thing you do is plan, and you try things, and you test your recipes, and you work on a dish until you perfect it. So the only thing that sort of throws a curve is the surprise, the surprise element in the show. You never know what to expect after that.
But I would think you would have a pretty strong advantage going in because you have worked under such high-level chefs.
It's such a diverse competition, though. You never know what to expect, and I think that's what's great both for the contestants and for everyone at home watching.
And how has your life changed now that Top Chef has begun to air?
It really hasn't. I still wake up every day and I go to work and I cook. And that's the beauty of it. And that's what I do now.
And what are your goals for the future?
Well, right now, my immediate goals are to, make Pasadena a dining destination, not just for LA, but for the whole country, if not the world. I'd like to really take that restaurant and put it on the map. I think Pasadena is such a great community, and really focus on creating a dining experience that people will drive for, and people will fly for, and people will, go to that old hotel, say, "Wow, we can't believe the direction they're going in." And then after that, I don't know. I have short-term goals, long-term, owning something one day that's completely mine. And that could happen immediately, but I'd rather wait and work on this project. And who knows? Right now, my home is at the dining room at the Langham in Pasadena, and after that, I have no more plans.
Okay, and the last question, what's your favorite thing to cook?
Wow, that's... I like to cook everything. My favorite thing is learning something and working with something that I haven't worked with before. And that's because if it was right now, if it was today, I would say like peaches or ale and tomatoes. But if it was the winter time, I would say something completely different. So really, it's whatever tastes the best today and whatever's available today is what I like to cook.
Okay, well, great. Thank you so much, Michael, for taking the time to speak to me.
Coughing in your ear.